Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
First thing, next Sunday we are eating together after church. So Hannah and Anne will give out lists in small groups for what we can bring. So it's bring and share. It's a perfect opportunity to invite friends along to. Also, don't feel like if you bring a friend along to, they have to come and listen to a message or whatever. They can just come along for food. If they, you know, if they can turn up at 12:30. None of us are going to care. Okay, but it's a great opportunity to invite people. Do that. Also, if there's a number of you, so especially thinking of those of us who are gluten free who aren't going to be there, please just let Hannah know. Just so she can gauge how much she needs to ask people to bring of free from stuff, etc. The other thing is, in 2 weeks' time, the last Sunday of the month, we are going to do a grocery giveaway. Let me explain what this is. So, we've gone and got grocery bags for as many people who want to take them away as possible. And the idea isn't that these aren't giveaways for you to now use as your personal bags, though I think they are pretty cool. I think they're brilliant. The idea is that you can take one, none, or two, or whatever you want. And the idea is in 2 weeks' time, on the 28th of June, you bring it back full, or with some stuff in anyway, full of stuff that we can give to the Street Life Project. So every week, we've encouraged people, if you've got a chance, if you find things, tinned food, if you bring them, you can leave them at the back, and Nicola will take them home, and during the week, we'll give them to the youth there. But what we want to do is a big push every kind of every term or so. And so what we're encouraging you to do is take a bag. It can be a reminder. And as you go for your weekly shop or whatever, you can fill it full of stuff. And what they've asked is especially tinned meat, so tinned protein, anything, so pies, sausages, tuna, fish, anything like that. Also, Hannah, your phone's locked, so I can't remember. Shaving foam, razors, shampoo, deodorant. So any of those things, I will post all that online so you can also see. But I encourage you, if you think you can, you're going to be able to do a shop. The bag doesn't have to be full. Don't think, oh, I couldn't fill a bag. But if you could, same thing. If you could fill two bags, brilliant. Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to have these bags. So take one if you wish, and come back on the 28th with them full. And it'd be great for us to be able to present to this charity loads of food that you guys have supported them with. Damien was just telling me earlier how amazing it is that actually such a small church as us, what we've managed to feed, what, 50 hot meals so far to how many different youth, do you reckon? Don't know, to Brilliant. And so, like I said, that's just a drop in the ocean, but it is really good. We want to be able to do more and more. And things like this are just ways that we can do more. Okay? Whatever the last, what's the last, what's the last Sunday of the month? 24th. Okay, 24th. 24th. Right, 24th. Right. Thank you, Matt. So not next week, the week after, 24th, bring shopping bags back full of stuff. Right. Sorted. Okay, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to get into the scripture. So Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that it is alive, and it impacts us right now, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for the way that you have already spoken to us through our time worshiping you, singing these songs to you with prayers and scripture readings, Lord Jesus, with prophetic words. I thank you for the way that you have already spoken to us. And I invite you, Holy Spirit, make these words of scripture come alive to us again today. Mold us, change us, make us more like Jesus Christ. Amen. Right, so we're going to be in Colossians, continuing our Colossians series. So if you want to find in your Bible, Colossians chapter 2, we're going to be reading the first 7 verses. Whilst you're finding that, I just want to do a quick recap of last time. So last time we read at the end of chapter 1, we read how Paul is imploring us. He said that he was suffering. Actually, he was rejoicing in his suffering, wasn't he? He was saying that I'm suffering and I'm rejoicing at suffering. Why? Because he found this secret. He found the secret that's been made known to him, that's been made known to all of us, that's been made known to the church. The secret that now is that Christ is in us. Christ is in us, and he is the hope of glory. And that means that you now, as your hope for salvation, that you are now right with God, that you are justified, that you are as if you had never sinned. But also, that light, as we looked at, that light in you, that hope of glory that's in you is now the light. And Jesus says of us himself, he says, you, church, each one of us who believe in Christ, we are the light of the world. And so he goes on into Colossians chapter 2 on the same part. And then we hit in verse 6 of therefore. So I'm going to read up to there. So, 4, I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, be knitted together in love to reach all the riches of fullness, full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may be deluded. No one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Amen. Right, so Paul goes along here. He continues his train of thought. Don't be confused. We do have chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, but that wasn't there in the original Bible. This is Paul just writing one thing. The chapter headings, the maybe if you've got some of your Bibles will have extra headings in your above the scriptures. They weren't there in the original text. They're just there to help us kind of look at it and find it also and reference it. But he's carrying on his train of thought to where we were last week. And he hits this therefore in verse 6. And he has 3 points that he wants to build on from that therefore, from what we have learned, from who Christ is, from what Christ has done for us. And he says, therefore, number 1, he says, as you received Christ Jesus, so walk. Number 2. He says, as you were rooted, be built up. And he says, number 3, as you were taught, be established. Be established in faith, or as some of your translation may put, be established in truth. So what is he talking about? When he's saying, number 1, as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk. What does he mean? Well, he expands this a bit more when he writes to the Corinthian church. He writes a very similar thing in 1 Corinthians verse 15. He says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. So this is what Paul's saying. He's saying that what you received, what I taught you we can still call them the basics, but they are the fundamentals. They are what we build upon. That Christ Jesus is Lord and King. And he came, he was born, he lived a perfect life, and he died. He died on a cross for your sin, for my sin, paying my price, paying that debt that, as Miriam so well explained last week, that our debt to God, our the fact that we have not lived according how God would want us to live. We've disobeyed God. That has produced a debt, which means that God's wrath is upon us. But he has paid that in his death. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And it's so important that we understand that this is crucial. And as we walk in our Christian life, ultimately, as we live out our Christian life, what we don't do, one of the things that Damien brought to our attention a few weeks ago, was that what we don't do is we don't grow in our Christian life and we discover new truths. Oh, you know, I couldn't think of any examples, but I remember in school doing it. I'm sure it was science, something like that, where you do like, you know, primary level science, and then you'd get to GCSEs and you'd be like, that wasn't true. That wasn't real science. And then you do like A levels, or maybe you do like a degree level, and you'd realize like, it's not that they were lying to you exactly. They were just dumbing it down. You get what I mean? Beck, you're nodding. Yeah. I feel on safe ground. But it's not like that with our Christian walk. It's not that we learn that Paul teaches. You see, Paul went around from church to church. He spent a year or two in a town or a city, then moved on. And he taught these fundamentals of grace, that Jesus died for our sins. That there is nothing you can do. There's nothing that you can do to make him love you more. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. And it's not that, oh, as we grow in our Christian walk, oh, we realize that wasn't completely true. We find some new truth. No. That is true. And that is what we build upon. We build upon this fact. So let me ask you this. Paul says, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk. Let me ask you the first question. Have you received Christ Jesus? Is he your Lord? Is he your Lord and Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your King? It was amazing when I came back into worship. I took Zach out to kids' work and I came back in. And I heard Andrew's prayer, and I was like, "If I already preached?" I was like, "This feels like I've already preached." Because what she was saying is, she was basically saying along the lines of, you know, Jesus isn't like other lords, is he? He's not like other kings. You see, the ancient world mindset of God would have been very comfortable with the idea that God is ruling, that God is reigning, that God is someone to be feared, that God has all power. But what would have blown their minds would have been the fact that God is friend. That this king, that this Lord, the Lord of Lords, is also a friend. And Jesus says it himself, doesn't he? He says in John 15, verse 14, he says, you are talking to his disciples. So if you are a Christian, he is talking to you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants. For a servant does not know his master's doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. Now we can think, yeah, Jesus is my friend. And we can skip over the second part of that sentence because it sounds a bit weird to us. You are my friends if you do what I say, if you obey me. And you think, sounds a bit like how a toddler responds, isn't it? You know, in the sandpit or whatever, you know. You're my best friend until you won't give me the toy that I want you to give me to. Until you stop playing the game that I want you to play with me. Until you stop doing what I'm commanding you to do. You know, our little Elsie Grace, she is very vocal and she will tell you everything that she wants and desires. And you can quite imagine her saying, you know, if you don't do what she's asking you to do, well, you're no longer my friend. You know, you're not my best friend anymore. You know, it's a classic kind of kids line stating the ultimate insult. And we think, oh, that's just childish. And we never kind of talk about that in kind of adult life. You know, just imagine if Damien is my friend, but just imagine if he said, you are my friend, Ben, if you do what I tell you. And ultimately, we know that's not right, because no matter how great Damien is, he's not perfect. And actually the same for anyone here, because our wants, our desires are imperfect. We're flawed. But the only one who we are in relationship with who is different is Christ. You see, the most loving thing that Christ can say, ask from us, is to obey him. Actually, it's not the most loving thing that I can do is to say, obey me. But Christ can. Because he is pure, he is holy. So he asks us, I am your Lord. And let me just say, okay, we can sing songs sometimes. We can say, you know, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are the Lord. You know, Jesus, we enthrone you, things like that. When we do that, just to underline, okay, when we do that, Jesus isn't over here kind of sitting on his Todd doing nothing. And then all of a sudden we say, Jesus, you're the Lord. And he's like moved up there to Lord. No, Jesus is always Lord. He has always been Lord. He will always be Lord. When we say, Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, you are Lord. You are the King of Kings. What we are doing, we are acknowledging reality. So Paul's challenge to us, his first challenge to us, is Jesus Christ your Lord? Not just your Savior, but he's your Lord and Savior. Remember what I said 2 weeks ago? This isn't just about buying a ticket. You know, you're not given this salvation ticket and then you kind of sit back, put your feet up and relax and live how you want. No. Jesus demands. He demands our life, our all, our everything. And it is not a burden, but it is the most loving thing that he could ask of us. So let's walk in that. Number two. As you were rooted, be built up. Do you remember week one, I talked about us growing deep roots into God, growing deep roots into Christ, learning about him, spending time with him. And we do that because we do that not to stay where we are, but because we want to grow up and we want to produce fruit. But we grow these deep roots because we have an enemy. We have an enemy who will say things, who will lie to us, who will throw things at us. The world will throw things against us. Things happen. Life happens. Life goes how we wouldn't expect it. But he calls us to grow roots so that when we are attacked, when the world throws stuff at us, when all Satan wants to do is uproot us, or if he can't do that, is stunt us, we have good, strong roots. I'm so loving that I'm preaching before Damien because I get to use the illustration first. But you know, Damien has been redoing his garden. There is so much in this. You could reuse this. Damien's been redoing his garden. Obviously, they had some building work done last year, and the garden has been a tip. So they are re-sculpting it. Damien's taken to landscaping, and he's bought himself a rotavator so that he can turn the soil upside down. You wouldn't believe it if you've not been to their place, right? Damien's just using this as an example to buy any tool that exists. He's got so many new tools. Anyway, but before he could use this rotavator to turn the soil over to then put new grass out there, he needed to uproot these roots that were from these trees that were in the garden. And they took a lot of effort. I mean, days of hacking, of digging. But these guys were so stubborn. They weren't just like, there's a root, pick it up. No. They were like proper hack, dig, pull, still not coming, sledgehammer, hack, dig, pull. You know, these were well-rooted roots, okay? These were deep in soil. And that's what God calls us to be. Because if you want to imagine in this analogy, Damien is the enemy. We are rooted in the soil, but the enemy comes and tries to stunt us, tries to uproot us. But ultimately, we're not planted in just good soil, are we? We're not just planted in some rich earth. We've been planted in Christ Jesus himself. And Jesus promises us that if we are rooted in him, no matter what the enemy throws our way, we will not be stunted. We will not be uprooted. In fact, actually, we will do even better. We will thrive. So this is what Jesus says himself. He tells this parable in Matthew 7, 24. He says, "Everyone, therefore, who hears these words," hears this gospel message, hears these fundamental truths, "everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, I liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house. And it did not fall down, for it was founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't do them, I will liken to a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rains came down and the floods came up and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell." So he says, are you building your house on the rock? You know, there's two builders. You know, they have the same materials. They have the same bricks. They have the same tiles. They have the same blueprints and plans. But one of them lugs them and starts his building work on the solid rock. And weather happens. Flood happens. Ice, snow, wind, rain happens. But because the foundations are firm, it is not moved. It is not shaken. But there's others. There's others who know what the truth is. They've heard the same thing. They choose, actually, it's too difficult to build on a rock. I don't want to bother with the rock. I'm just going to build where I am, on sand. And obviously, as water comes, as rain comes, as snow comes, as wind comes, the sand sinks. And it falls to the ground. Guys, Jesus doesn't promise us, you become a Christian and everything will be amazing. Some of us have heard that gospel message. Become a Christian and your life will be sorted. Everything will be brilliant. No. Jesus promises us that the world, that the enemy, that life will throw stuff at us. We will suffer you know, we will have poor health. We'll have poor mental health, poor physical health. We'll have financial worries, job security problems. You know, we'll have problem neighbors. We'll have upset family. And that sense of, this isn't how it was meant to happen, God. This isn't how I planned my life to be. This isn't how I planned my next step to be. God, what are you doing? And that's just me. That's just my list, okay? How about you? Now, Miriam wonderfully told us her story last week of her parents' divorce and how that was a massive storm. But she said that despite that, she knew what it was to be on the rock, to know what it is to be held by Christ. Jesus promises us trouble. He promises us that we will be attacked, that life will be rubbish at times. And what is it for you? You know, divorce, abandonment, death, joblessness, childlessness. You know, there's times when, you know, many times when over the last kind of 18 months, 2 years, I've just been at that this place where I've just been, God, what are you doing? You know, God, you put me in a church family. You've put me among people. You've introduced me to great people like Rob and Joe, who trained and mentored me and showed me how to lead church. You've given me a wonderful wife who has the same passion for your church as I do. You know, you've helped me be part and lead a successful church plant. And all the time having this call on me to lead and go off and do something and come here to Blackpool and lead church. And I get here, what's with the illness? What's that all about? Why? What are you doing? You ever think that in your life when things happen, you think, God, I'm doing good things for you. I only want to do good things for you. And you're just like, why are you making it so difficult? God, if this was different, if I was well, if this person was still with me or whatever, you know, God, surely your kingdom would be able to advance so much better because of it. Do you know what, though? And I hope that we can be a church as a whole that can say this. Not in an arrogant way, but are able to say, and I don't say this in an arrogant way, but despite life not turning out how I thought it would, actually, I can say hand on heart that I'm thriving, that God's good, and that he is doing a good work in me. And I can say, as the hymn writer writes, it is well. It is well with my soul. You know, we can hear that and be so confused, can't we? Because we can think, you know, everything being well, thriving, being successful can be about, you know, having a great ministry, seeing hundreds of people saved, being, you know, having a great job, earning lots of money, having a successful family, having, you know, having all these things that the world would say, these are great things. And yes, they are and they can be. But if we look to and we build on them, we're not building on a rock. We're building on sand. We're building on sand. If we're looking for success, if we're looking for things to go right, if we're looking for riches, actually we're building on sand. Remember week one, I said that 20 years ago or so, there was those bracelets, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And I said that actually, probably a better way to look at it would be rather than what would Jesus do, because we can sometimes think, you know, what would Jesus do in my situation? Well, he healed me. Yeah, you know, what would Jesus do in your situation? You know, I don't have enough money. He'd send Jono fishing and he'd catch a fortune. You know, what would Jesus do in this situation when I've got hungry teenagers? Well, he'd just turn a load of rocks into bread or something. You know, gluten-free bread that tastes amazing. I tell you, when we meet Jesus face to face, either everyone is going to be fine with gluten, or just bread's just going to be amazing and not have any gluten in it. You know, you think what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in my situation? Well, that's just a stupid question, because Jesus wouldn't be stupid enough to get in my situation. You know, you just think Jesus would never get here. So asking what would Jesus do is kind of irrelevant, because he would never put himself in this situation. I'm the only one stupid enough to get here. No, what's a better question is, if Jesus was married to who you're married to, if Jesus had the kids that you had, if Jesus had the job you had, if Jesus had the illness or the grief that you had right now, how would he act? And as we get close to be able to say, actually, this is how Jesus acts, I'm acting how Jesus would act, that's thriving. No matter what the result is, in fact, of money, wealth, power, people saved, etc., that's thriving. You know, I love this this hymn that's just said, you know, it is well. And it just reads a bit from it. It says, you know, when it was written in the 1800s. And it says, when peace like a river attendeth my ways, when sorrow like sea billows rolls, whatever my lot. So he's saying, you know, whatever happens, you know, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffer me though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. Wonderful. This guy's saying, you know, whatever happens, good times, bad times, Christ is good. Because ultimately, Satan will throw stuff at me. But more than anything, what I stand on is the fact that Christ shed his blood for my soul. And we think that's a really nice thing to say. It's a really nice thing for someone to come up with. But let me just tell you, okay, this was written by a guy called Horatio Spafford. Now, Horatio wrote this after two traumatic events in his life. Firstly, his son, aged 2, died in the Great Fire of Chicago in 1871, which also not only killed his son, but ruined him financially. He was a successful lawyer and had invested significantly in property, which was all burnt down in the fire. So he decided that he was going to send himself, his wife, and his 4 daughters to Europe to start again, to look for new opportunities. But he got delayed, so he sent his wife and his daughters on ahead. And whilst crossing the Atlantic, the ship that his wife and daughters were on sunk. His daughters died. His wife barely survived. When she was safe, she sent word to him, telling him what had happened, and he came to meet her. And as the ship was sailing roughly where the previous one had sunk, that's when he took himself and penned this hymn, writing, "It is well, despite this horrendous tragedy in his life, it is well with my soul." You know, that's what Jesus looks at. That's the life Jesus Christ looks at and says, thriving. That is a life that Jesus looks at. And I'm 100% certain that when Horatio met Christ face to face, that is a life that Christ Jesus said, "Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant." Satan will try and uproot you. Satan will attack you. Satan will try and stunt your growth. Like those roots in Damien's garden. But if we are rooted down, if we are standing on the rock, we will thrive because we're not built on shifting sand. So finally, number three, as you were taught, be established. This simply means everything that we have been taught, this grace of Christ Jesus to us, the fact that he is our rock, the fact that he is our salvation, the fact that it is his blood shed for us that is good enough, it is the fact that he chose you and called you friend. Not that you were good and that you decided that you thought, "Oh, you know what? I could be Jesus' friend because I'm one of the good guys." No. Or he looked at you and thought, "You're one of the great ones. I could be your friend." No, because of his grace, him choosing you, because of that, we work it out. We establish it in our everyday lives. Ultimately, that means that we sit here on a Sunday, or maybe we hear a talk or a worship song or whatever, and we hear the truth of what Jesus is like and how he calls us to act as a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a father, as a mother, as a wife, as a work colleague, as whatever. We hear how Jesus asks us to live in his kingdom, to live under his lordship. We hear that. We don't just sit there and we go, "Yeah, that's good. I like that." No, we stand up and we metaphorically walk in it. We do it. Yeah, we fail. We lose our temper. We get angry. We whatever, you know. But we walk it. We walk it out. We apply it to our lives. This means that we don't pick up our Bibles because we feel like it's going to give us brownie points with God, because we think that he's going to like us more because we've read a couple of chapters today. No, it's we pick up our Bibles and read them because we want to know more about Christ, because we want to hear him talk to us. We want to read his very inspired word and get it into us because we love it. We drink it in. I'm just going to hand this out. We're going to end by taking communion. You can take a piece or not. It doesn't matter. It's wonderful gluten-free. This is a meal that we love to do as the church. It's for Christians. But if you're not a Christian, don't feel embarrassed if you don't want to take it. If you're not a Christian and you do want to take it, maybe we could, maybe you could, before you take it, you think, you know, "Jesus, I want to follow you." And actually, this could be the first time you take it. But as we hand this bread out, just hold it for a second, okay? And we're gonna do the juice in a minute. But if you just hand out the bread, you take it. She's coming. If you just take it, hold it, and then in a second, we're gonna take it together as a church. Because this truth, yeah, you hand out the bread. No. This truth means that we are no longer, that you are no longer. If you are a Christian, if you are a child of God, what this means is you are no longer defined as British or whatever your nationality is. Okay, you are now ultimately defined as a son, as a daughter of the kingdom. You are a son of and daughter of the kingdom, of God's kingdom, of the kingdom of heaven. That is who you are. That is what we are. So we don't encourage you. We don't, as in the weeks to come, we're going to look at, you know, more and how we share our faith, how it's great that we make guests feel welcome and we love them and we do go out of our way for guests, that we serve one another, that we open up our homes for people. But we don't do those things to earn points. We do them because we've got Christ in us, because we're no longer who we used to be. We're now people of the kingdom. And then because we're people of the kingdom, Christ is in us. And that is what Christ does, working out through us. So we do it and we love to do it, because ultimately, kingdom people, there's nothing better than seeing God's kingdom advance. There's nothing better than seeing God's kingdom advance through you. Right, so, question. Have you received Christ as your Lord and King? Yeah? Yeah? Well, it's because this bread, which symbolizes his body, was broken for you. And if you've accepted that and you are a citizen of the kingdom, let's eat that now together. You see, Matt, if you want to come up and end us on a song, please. See, I want us to be a church that is rooted and established in him. Our Lord, our God, our King, Jesus Christ. And even though we have an enemy who will do everything he can to try and uproot us, to try and unsteady us, to try and stunt our growth, if we are rooted in him, if we walk in him, we will not be stopped. Because ultimately, he cannot be stopped. His kingdom cannot be stopped. His kingdom, the Bible tells us that his kingdom will grow and grow and grow and grow and fill the entire earth. That is who we serve. That is who we are citizens of. We are not citizens of a kingdom that is dying out. We are not citizens of a kingdom that will end. We are citizens of a kingdom who has a king that will reign forever and ever and ever. Right, I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing in response to this. Lord Jesus, I thank you. God, you are King. Jesus, you are Lord. God, and I want to thank you that you have come into my life and you have saved me, God, and you placed me upon a rock. God, you are in me. God, I am standing on you. God, and I thank you that even though the stuff that's happened in my life, God, I want to thank you that even the stuff that's happened in my friends' lives, Lord Jesus, God, you have promised and you have shown yourself to be true, that when we stand on you, when we put our faith in you, we will not be shaken, because you are not shaken. You are never surprised by what the enemy does, Lord God. You are never surprised by bad things that happen, Lord God, but you are prepared and nothing can overcome you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing, let's stand. And whilst in where you are, why don't you proclaim what Jesus has done for you? Now, this song says, you have been so, so good to me. And as we sing it, let's not just sing, you are so good to me, you are so kind to me. No, no, no. Hear it. And through the rubbish of your life, proclaim, Jesus is still good. He is still King. He is still good.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.